Blog Talk Radio.
My life was changed that day. I played this happy tune of mine and thought of better days, and left my cares and woes behind and gave them all of my praise. I played this happy tune of mine and thought of better days, and left my cares and woes behind and gave them all of my praise. Gave them all of my praise. For joy and found my pot of gold, the gems and silver coins and all were all God's word I'm told. I walked the road and danced and played and found this happy chord. I cheered and giggled lots of more and sang my song to the Lord. I played this happy tune of mine and thought of better days, and left my cares and woes behind and gave them all of my praise. I played this happy tune of mine and thought of better days, and left my cares and woes behind and gave him all of my praise. I gave him all of my praise. Gave him all of my praise.
Ah, top of the morning to you, and greetings from the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Good morning, y'all. Sorry, I couldn't find my page.
Well, before we get started, Leah and I just want to share with you an important reminder with regards to our topic and our discussion for our show for today.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listener, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
Well, okay, if you're ready now. Well, not much to do in the way of singing today. I'm glad that you're happy I'm not singing. But yee-haw, born on October the 25th.
Hey, you're 2 days late, Val.
Hey, I know, but it's old news by now. Well, listen, on this date in 1912 in Centerville, a cute little baby girl was born in Hickman County, Tennessee. She would later grow up and become a country comedian who appeared on the Grand Ole Opry for more than 50 years, and she is most famous for her funny wits on the hit TV show Hee-Haw. And that woman was none other than Minnie Pearl.
Oh, Minnie Pearl. She was a hoot.
Well, and another person that was born on this day in 1936 would later grow up to be known as the long-haired country boy from Wilmington, North Carolina. None other than Mr. Charlie Daniels.
Oh, yeah. Yeehaw, a day for country music legends. And in 1920, the Westinghouse radio station KDKA in East Pittsburgh began airing their radio program.
And on this date, 1947, the quiz show You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx premiered on ABC Radio. The show would later move to television, where a whole new generation would discover the rappier wit with the bushy eyebrows and the smoldering cigar of what some considered a comic Jesus. And as he used to say, when the rubber duck falls back down, if you can guess the answer to the question, you can win $50.
And for all of you that are kids at heart, on this date in 1954, ABC Television premiered a brand new family program called Disneyland. This would be the beginning of many family friendly programs by Walt Disney.
So, with that, what do we have to share from the Jewish history section today?
In 1779, during the American Revolution, Solomon Bush, whose father Matthias had been one of the signers of the non-importation agreement in 1765, was promoted to the rank of lieutenant colonel today.
And over here in 1978, a great thing took place. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israel Prime Minister Menachem Begin were named winners of the Nobel Peace Prize.
You know, I remember that. It was historic.
Well, and flipping over to world history, in 312 A.D., Constantine the Great is said to have received his now famous vision of the cross.
And what was the vision of the cross about?
Well, historians say that Constantine the Great is said to have received his famous vision of the cross, which will join the sword of Constantine to the cross of Christ in the governing of the Roman Empire, much to the detriment of the Jews during that time for centuries to come.
I didn't know this. But on this day in women's history, in 1917, 20,000 women marched in a suffrage parade in New York.
They were suffering for a parade in New York?
No, dear. They were all shopping, I'm sure.
Well, in 1917, it was on this day in U.S. history that they say that Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is founded in 1682.
Ah, the city of brotherly love.
And in 1775, our very own United States Navy is formed on this day.
Well, here's something special. In 1954, Benjamin O. Davis Jr. became the first African-American general in the U.S. in the United States Air Force.
Ah, off we go into the wild blue yonder. That's pretty cool. Well, and here's a story that was literally buried in the Weird History Archives. It's 1872, and a brand new article has just been published today called A Startling Novelty. It was published today and traces the history of embalming.
Ew.
Based upon Genesis. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And so Joseph died, and being 110 years old, they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, while the Israelites learned about embalming from the Egyptians, the latter used a much more elaborate process, and the embalmers were regarded as sacred persons.
Oh, my. I'm just mummified. So people at the funeral home today used to be called sacred persons?
I guess so. I don't know.
Huh.
Well, listen, expanding onto other news, no pun intended, today in 1938, DuPont announced its newest product, a new synthetic fiber that can stretch and expand. It's called nylon.
Ta-da-da, ta-da-da, ta-da-da. I get to do that this week. And now it is time for our sports history update.
It is. And with that, it's 1925, and Fred Waller has just received his patent for a product that will actually glide on the water.
Wow.
He patented none other than water skis.
Water skis? Well, let's get back to something we all know about, football.
Okay. Well, it was on this date, on October the 22nd in 1939, that the first televised football game was telecast from New York. Brooklyn defeated Philadelphia 23-14.
You're kidding.
Nope. A meager crowd of 13,050 people were at hand at Brooklyn's Ebbets Field, And on that now historic day, when the Philadelphia Eagles fell to the Brooklyn Dodgers 23-14. And yes, folks, you heard that right. The football team was actually called the Brooklyn Dodgers.
But you just said a crowd watched this at Ebbets Field. Where's the television in this story?
Well, that's a great question, Leah. The Pro Football Hall of Fame website states that in their sports history site that 500 or so fortunate New Yorkers who owned television sets witnessed the game in the comfort of their own homes. And over at NBC's experimental station W2XBS, many others saw the telecast on monitors while visiting the RCA pavilions at the World's Fair in New York, where it was scheduled as a special event.
Who knew? Wow. Okay. And in 1950, for those of you who still keep count of your team wins, the Los Angeles Rams set an NFL record by defeating the Baltimore Colts 70-27. It was a record score for a regular season game.
Gosh, it's almost like a basketball game.
Really?
Ouch. And so here's one that will have you running on edge for a while. In the year 2000, Corey Dillon was playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, and on this day, he would run for 278 yards against the Denver Broncos.
Well,
your Broncos, my dear.
But that must have been a really long field, huh?
Yeah.
So, Brian, what are we doing today on the show?
Well, we're going to continue our new study series on Steps of Faith, the Basics. And today we're going to be talking in part two of our series.
I'm excited about this new study. We have some really great ideas to help you, the listeners, begin taking steps of faith in your daily walk.
And we want you to know that these are the same steps of faith that Leah and I have both learned to take, and we began applying them to our life. Now, it's nothing magical here, and it's nothing new, but these are just some of the steps that we were prompted by the Holy Spirit to take in our life. And we hope that you will be blessed by these simple truth.
You are so right, Brian. This is going to be another fun study today.
Well, with that, Leah, why don't you get us started?
I would love to. So everyone, grab your Bibles, or if you're on your computer or have your iPad with you, turn to your favorite Bible program or website link, then go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12.
And again, we'd like to just remind the listeners that we are using the New American Standard Bible version unless we have found a different translation to use.
Right. And we also want to remind you, listeners, that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us. So if you would like to contact us, you may send us an email with your questions and or comments to this address, brian@hazakministries.com. That email address again is brian@hazakministries.com.
That's right. And while we're here, we just want to give a big shout out to Montel's mom, Maurice. We just want to let you know that we love you, that we've been praying for you, and we look forward to hearing your voice and seeing your happy face soon. And just know that the Lord is going to do a complete supernatural healing in you, and we just ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, folks, we also just want to remember this. We look forward to hearing from you today, and you can always email in. We can't take your phone call, but we can take an email, and again, you can email me to brian@hazakministries.com. That's brian@hazakministries.com. If you'll email us, we'll get the email here, and we can answer your questions and share your comments online. And we also want to continue to give a big shout-out for those of you who are either listening in live or if you're picking it up on delay in Scotland, in Ireland, and the rest of the U.K., and in London. A big shout-out to Craig Shrosby, and we also want to thank those of you who are living in Uganda, in Nigeria, in Kenya, and in Taiwan, and India, and in Central and South America. And we are really excited to know that the show has gone international and is being picked up all across the world. We are really excited to see how God is promoting the kingdom all across the earth.
Amen.
So, just to review from part one from last week, we shared that it's important that we understand what that word step or steps means and what that word faith means.
Well, the word step means the single complete movement of raising one's foot and putting it down in another spot, like walking. Yeah, I know, it's a little simplistic, but it's also a fixed rhythm or pace or a course or a path. And this last one was pretty neat. It can mean a series of actions or processes or measures taken to achieve a goal.
And I found this. The word steps in Hebrew is that word as sure, and it means to step or going.
You know, I looked it up too. The word steps that I found, what I found on it, was I want to read for you this passage from Psalm 17, verse 5, which says, "My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped."
And we then talked about that word faith. And what does that word faith mean?
And just a couple of the definitions that we had were a strong or unshakable belief in something without proof or evidence. Also, in Christianity, it could be trust in God and in his actions and promises. And also, complete confidence or trust in a person.
And then we read that faith is really mentioned several times in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And this is from Hebrews 11:1. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."
We then began sharing about the basic steps in our steps of faith.
That's right. So number one on our list for the basic steps of faith is we're to be in prayer. We have to learn to be in prayer.
That word prayer means, well, first of all, a reverent petition to made to God. The act of making a reverent petition to God, a belief in the power of prayer, and also an act of communion with God.
And then I asked my bride this question, "So why do you think that prayer is so important?"
And I shared that prayer is about communicating directly with God. He has granted us complete access to him through prayer.
I love that, especially about communicating with God. So why is this important in our steps and in our faith walk?
Oh, man. When we have a relationship with the Lord, we can pray to him about anything and be assured that he will answer in his time. Also, the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So if we are praising him and praying to him, then we have a relationship with him. Since God is invisible to us, we must do our best to remain in constant contact with him through our prayers.
Now, that was awesome. Now, before we continue, Leah, did you want to share something with our listeners before we move on?
Yeah, I do. We just wanted to remind you, listeners, that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us. So if you would like to contact us, you may send us an email with your questions and or comments to this email address, brian@hazakministries.com. That email address again is brian@hazakministries.com.
Yes. All right, so then we shared that number two on our steps of faith this morning is to be open. We have to learn to be open. So, Leah, what does that word open or to be open mean?
Well, my old Webster's Dictionary.
Your old Webster's Dictionary, huh?
I knew you were going to say that. Gave me some great answers. To permit passage or to allow passage. To be completely free from concealment or confinement.
And listeners, last week I asked my bride this question. Why do we need to be open to God or to be open to the Holy Spirit?
Hey, God is not pushy. He is polite and waits for us to ask for him. He doesn't push himself off on us. He has taught us how to pray to him through his son Jesus in the Bible. And when we need something or need his guidance, we may know that we can pray to him about anything at any time.
And because of his openness to us, we need to be open to him. It's a two-way street. So, Leah, you finished with a great comment and verse last week on being open. Would you mind sharing that with our listeners again today, if you can remember what you said?
Sure, Brian, I'd love to. For those of you listening in today, we have to learn to be open. We have to learn to be willing and obedient to be used by him. And I love how the Lord tells us he will fill us up with his Spirit. This is from Isaiah 44, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible. For I will pour out water on him who is thirsty and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants.
That was awesome, Leah. Just awesome.
So, Brian, are you ready to get going on this week's study?
Oh, yeah. You bet. All right. So, I'm going to let you get us started.
Okay. Now, this is the time to grab your Bibles, folks, if you haven't already. Or if you're on your computer or have your iPad with you, turn to your favorite Bible program or website link. Then let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 12. Well, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version here. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have.
Well, thank you, Leah.
Okay, Brian. So what is our next step of faith in the basics today?
Well, our next talk is number 3, which is we have to be willing. We have to learn to be willing.
You know, each week I keep getting more excited about the next radio program, and I think, wow, can it get any better than this one? And then I really get jazzed about preparing for the next show.
I know. Watching you is like watching a kid get ready to go into a candy store. Except for you, it's like getting ready to go see horses somewhere or anywhere.
Ha, ha, ha. You know me too well. And besides, I like this. It's really fun.
Okay, then. So, since we're talking about willing, what does that word willing really mean?
Well, here's what I found. The word willing means, number one, disposed or consenting, inclined, willing to go along. Number two, it means cheerfully consenting or ready, a willing worker. And number three, done, given, born, used, etc., with cheerful readiness.
Ooh, I really like that we have to be willing, and that last part that you shared was with cheerful readiness.
Yeah.
It's almost an eagerness, you know, like to get ready to get something done, and I'm excited about getting it done.
Yes, and I love the way that Hebrews shares about us being willing in all that we do. This is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
Repeat that one more time, Leah.
Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
I just love that. Now, that word in Hebrew for willing is avah, and it means to be willing or to consent or to yield or to accept and to desire. And I love the way that Isaiah puts this word willing. I found this great passage where he talks about this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It says that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land.
You know, that's great, Brian. I also found a great scripture verse, one that I know and have known for years, that goes with our topic today. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
And I love that verse that you shared, because as we walk through our steps of faith, there will always be a time of repentance that we have to go through.
And this is the part of the process of being in prayer and open and willing.
You are so right. So since we're on this step of be willing, I prepared a couple of questions for Leah this past week for her to think about and to share with our listeners. So, my dear, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, Leah, then what do you think that it means for you to be willing?
For me, being willing means being available. Be available to someone who might need me for something like a job or a favor, an opinion, or an idea.
Like a back scratch or back rub?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Being willing also means to be ready to do whatever it takes.
And did you have a scripture verse that you might want to share with that?
I do. This is from Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. I found this to be very important. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
That was such a great response. So here's another question that I had prepared and I had asked Leah to come up with. So what is the difference between a willing attitude and one that says, I have to do this, or someone telling you to do this?
As you said, Brian, attitude is the key. If I am asked or told to do something I don't want to do, I might pout or grumble about it, which kind of makes the whole idea of having a good attitude a farce. If I'm asked to do something, then I need to learn to be willing to do it as unto the Lord and do it with a pleasant attitude and a pleasant heart.
And you know, our attitude is very important. And here's a great verse that will encourage you as you do your work. And this is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And I'm going to read this one from the Amplified Bible.
Okay.
Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul, that is, put in your very best effort, as something done for the Lord and not for man.
Wow, I love that verse.
So, Leah, here is another question that I'd asked you. Can you share a time in your life where you had to learn to be willing?
Most of us have had experiences where we were challenged to do something that we probably did not want to do. When I was younger, I had many chances to be willing to help others out with different challenges that they faced. I was almost always willing and happy to help out, but occasionally I was asked to do something for someone that was quite distasteful. I did not want to help them out, but did so anyway, but with a poor attitude sometimes.
So do I sense a little rebellion here, eh?
No, just a bad attitude.
I hate that when that happens. So speaking of happens, so what happened?
Anyway, even then I did my best to please them. I still wanted a relationship with them. I remember times when they would tell me to do something that I wouldn't want to do, but I still did it anyway, even when it wasn't my chore to do.
Uh-oh.
I guess the strongest memory I have about this was when my dad asked me to do something that wasn't my chore for that day. I would grudgingly do it, but definitely did not enjoy it at all. Having three younger brothers is part of that. They would get away with murder, I think. Well, one night, my mom had gone out to play bridge with several of her friends, and Dad was home, and when it was time to bed, he told all of us three kids to get in bed for the night. Well, several minutes after I was in bed and nearly asleep, the light came on in my room, and my father stomped into the room, yanked the covers off me, and told me to get up and go feed the dog. Well, it was at this point that I should have learned and had to learn to be willing to do things with a cheerful heart, even if it meant feeding the dog.
Wow, now that must have been rough.
Oh, you are so bad sometimes. So, Brian, how about you? You're always asking me these questions. Can you share a time in your life when you had to learn to be willing?
Oh, yes, but it wasn't about feeding the dog.
So what was that?
Well, you know, I had a lot of different number of encounters over the years, but I think the one that is the most important one that I can remember was not long ago, and this had to do with about being willing, and this came in 2011. You know, Leah, do you remember when we went to Oklahoma to do the audio recording for our book?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a great time of growth for both of us.
Yes, it was. But I think even more for me.
Well, I know our listeners and me would really like this and how you would be able to relate, how they would be able to relate to this story. And for others, we pray that this will encourage them in their walk when taking their steps of faith. So
I think
tell
they will,
us more.
I think they will, too. Well, back to my story. It was June of 2011. Our first book, From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith, had just been released from Tate Publishing. And we knew that Tate Publishing would be working on an audiobook for the new book. And we had been talking about just that very same thing. We asked ourselves, I wonder who they're going to use to read and record for the audiobook.
We did, and I remember that we both had felt in our spirit that we might be the ones to record our voices for the book.
And so we contacted Tate Publishing, and we asked them if we could read for the audiobook.
And after we contacted them, they said, well, we usually have professionals who come in and record the audio, but we would consider your request if you will send us a mastered recording of your voices from two of your chapters.
So with that, we called our good friend Joy Garza here in Houston at Full Measure Productions, and he helped us with the recording and mastered the CD for us so that we could send it back to Tate for them to review. Okay, so about now you're asking yourself, hey, Brian, what does this have to do with being willing?
Ha, I love this part of the story. It's so cool.
Well, most people, including me, moi, would have said, hey, I want to do this. So, I will do it. And I don't care about the cost because this is what I want to do.
Ah, yes, the old type A personality comes out.
Well, now, most of the time, I probably would have just gone straight ahead and done this. But something was different. Leah and I had been going through changes in our spirit life, and we'd been learning to trust him and to obey him, and we were learning to let go, as my wife always likes to say, let it go, let it go. And this was really hard for me. Why? I'm a guy.
Yeah, boy, I'll say it was hard. A type A personality loves to be in control.
Well, that's true. But I know, but this was different, though. Learning to let go and then learning to let God take the helm of the ship, this was very humbling for me. And when you do this, you learn a great deal of wisdom. And then it's amazing to see how God shows up and how God works.
Yeah, that was really cool. Okay, tell them the rest of the story, Brian.
Okay, anyway, we did a really unusual thing, totally different and out of the ordinary, not only for us, but I know for a lot of other people. You see, we took our request to the Lord. A lot of people do. They go, yeah, I'm going to put it at the altar, as they say, and we'll pray about it. But here was something different about praying about it. What we did was when we took our prayer request to the altar, we asked our Father God for his permission to go.
Now, this was really cool. I love this part. Keep going.
Okay. So this is what happened. We asked the Lord if we could have his permission to go on to this trip. You know, it's just like a teenager asking their father if they can go to the dance or the football game or the camping trip or to the movie or the mission trip. But we didn't say yes or no. We said, we want your permission to go.
And what else do we ask for?
Well, our prayer request was very, very specific. We asked for his permission to go to record for the audiobook in Oklahoma. And we prayed that we wanted him to give us an affirmation and a confirmation to go.
And I remember one of our scripture verses for this prayer request. It was from Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
And this was cool. Within the next 10 days, the Lord gave both of us an affirmation and a confirmation to go on the trip. Not just one. We didn't see a burning bush on the side of the road that says, go to Oklahoma. No, we would have people that we would be talking to them, and they'd say, you know, the Lord's told me to tell you that you're supposed to be making a trip, and you need to go. That was very powerful.
Yes.
Now, some of you will think, oh, well, is this all that there was to the story? No, there's more. So you see, there was another small item that was in this prayer request.
Well, that's because of where we live versus where Tate Publishing was, remember?
That's correct. We're kind of in between Columbus and Brenham, Texas. That's where they make Bluebell. And Tate Publishing's all the way up in Oklahoma City, a good 8 or 9 hour drive away.
Correct.
And so there was going to be a cost involved. Mm-hmm. So we found ourselves asking, well, gosh, I wonder how much this trip's going to cost. And again, I'd shared some of you that some of us, when this opportunity came up, instead of just praying about it, we would have just said, well, let's just go pull the money out of savings, or, hey, we can just stick that on the old credit card and we'll just go and pay for it later.
You know, folks, we thought about that, but really this would not have had us being dependent upon God, but being dependent upon us. And that was not what we wanted.
That's right. And we really could not have afforded this. So our next prayer request was also very specific. We calculated what the cost would be to drive up and back to Oklahoma. The cost of the motel, the mm-hmm. food, the gas, any other incidentals. And then we gave the Lord a figure for him to work on. It was very specific. We said, this is exactly how much that we're going to need for the trip.
This was really amazing when you think back about it, to see the things unfold right before our very eyes.
And then we sent out our prayer request to our prayer team and asked them to be in prayer and agreement with us for this request and waited on the Lord.
And again, we found a Bible verse to live by.
That's right, Leah. And it's very important that when you pray that you are willing to be led by the Lord, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And to take away your earthly feelings and what the soul wants. But, again, the key here is to be led by the Holy Spirit.
And our scripture verse during this time of prayer was from Mark 11, verse 24. I'm going to read it now from the New International Version. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours.
That is so cool. And, you know, it was amazing to see how God unfolded his plans before our very own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And this was neat. Within the next 2 weeks, God would provide not just what we needed for the trip, but he would give us more than enough. And from this lesson, I learned that I, Brian Fouts, had to be willing to let God be in charge. I had to be willing to let him show us the way, and I had to be willing to depend upon him, and I had to be willing to give him praise for all things.
And I'm reminded of his promise. This is from John 15, verse 7. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
That's right. Ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Now, that is not only amazing, but that's awesome.
Yes, and I just wanted to remind our listeners again that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us, so if you'd like to contact us, you may send us an email with your questions and or comments to this address, brian@hazakministries.com. That email address again is brian@hazakministries.com.
Thank you again, Leah. And now I would like to go into our next step. And number four that we're going to talk about today on our list is be obedient. We have to learn to be obedient.
Well, Brian, I looked this up in the dictionary, and here's what I found. Obedient is an adjective. It means obeying or willing to obey, complying with or submissive to authority, and like an obedient son.
Ooh, that was nice. I like the last fact that you told us, that we have to comply or be submissive to authority. So, Leah, what else do you have?
Well, my definition is pretty simple.
You got a pretty simple one, do you?
I do. Obedience means to mind or do as you are told.
Yeah, that's pretty simple.
I heard that a lot when
just
I was
like an adult would say, just do as you're told.
Yeah, it is. So, did you find a Hebrew word for obedient for our listeners today?
Well, of course I did. Now, that same word, obedient, in Hebrew is the word shama, and it means to listen to obey, to hear or to perceive something by ear, to have power to hear, and to hear with attention, and to hear with interest. Hear that, and to hear with interest, and to listen and to understand.
You know, you said to bay. Does that mean like, oh, instead
yes.
of, I believe it's obey.
Obey, that's right, there it is.
And I read that it also means to give heed, to consent or to agree, to be regarded and obey, and to be obedient, see?
That's right. And lastly, this was neat, to make proclamation and to summon.
And I found this great Bible verse about being obedient. It's in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version again.
Okay.
Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. And they said, everything that the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient.
Yeah, they did for a while, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's what we have to do. We have to do everything that the Lord has said and that we will do and that we have to be obedient. All right. So, Leah, I asked you some more questions last week about being obedient and about obedience.
Yes, you did.
So, today is the day that you get to share that with our listeners, okay?
Okie dokie. I'm ready to go.
All righty then. Here's your first question. What do you think that word obedient means to you, Leah?
Well, being obedient is doing what I'm told. It also means to remember that we are to be servants and to be aware when there's something we need to do.
And did you have a scripture verse to go with your thoughts here today?
Well, yes, I did.
Okay.
I do. This is from Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And it says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul.
Oh, that was really neat, Leah. Okay, so here's my next question for you. Can you, Leah, share a time in your life when you had to be obedient?
I had to be obedient a lot. But this stands out in my mind. When I was about 10 or so years old, I was invited to go with a friend and her dad out for the afternoon to visit some friends of theirs. The people had some land near Houston, and I was told that there were horses on the property and we might be able to ride some.
I just knew there'd be a horse story in here somewhere.
Of course there was. Anyway, when I told my mother about it, she told me in no uncertain terms that I was not to even think of riding a horse. She was afraid I'd get hurt. Well, being a young girl and very horse crazy, I was devastated.
Wow, that had to hurt.
Well, yes, it did. But I was obedient, even though it hurt.
Oh, man. So what happened next?
Well, we spent a couple of hours out in the field. My friend was riding a pony to her heart's content, and I just stood and watched and cried. Her father felt so sorry for me, but very proud that I obeyed my mom, even though it would have been very easy for me to disobey her and not let her know. And when I got back home, I cried and cried.
Oh, my gosh, that's very sad. I never knew this story. Okay, so what happened next?
Well, when Mom came in to check on me, I told her that the horse was actually a pony and very tame. I also told her that I did as she had asked me to do, even though my friend tried to convince me that I could do it and nobody needed to know.
Wow. So what did your mom think when you told her that?
I believe she then realized that I had obeyed her despite the trial of watching my friend ride and standing firm against her father who wanted me to go ahead and do it anyway.
Man, that is a great story. And that's a great story about being obedient. And that's a great lesson that parents can teach their kids, because even adults can remember the things that they had to learn as a child growing up. So, Leah, can you think of any other things that you might want to share about being obedient with our listeners today?
Well, just this. Obedience is best demonstrated by Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth to be the example of one who lived the perfect life of obedience. He came here to be a living example of what God the Father demanded that we be, even though we are completely unable to copy his example.
Boy, that's powerful. You know, to the point that we are to copy his example, to copy the example of Jesus Christ. Now, that is something that should encourage all of us in our walk, to be Christ-like.
Well, and there is this. He is held up to all of us as the perfect standard by which we must strive to attain, even though we know we will never be sinless as Jesus was. However, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we can know that our Father in heaven will allow us, as sinners, to enter into heaven when we die.
That's cool.
Because when God the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus, not us, thank goodness. The only perfect person who ever lived on this earth, Jesus. What a wonderful sacrifice. What a beautiful Savior.
And we are reminded of this obedience from Hebrews 11:6, where it reads, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So, here's another question for you. What is so important about us being obedient? I mean, are we supposed to be obedient to ourselves, or who are we supposed to be obedient to?
Oh, Brian, it's to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to submit to God with a true heart and an open heart. When we do, we can then learn to obey his commands and fulfill the vision or calling that he's placed on our lives.
And, you know, he gave us this other promise from 1 John 5:3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome."
So, folks, tune in next week as we continue our new study series, Steps of Faith, The Basics, Part 3, next week.
And go ahead.
Hey, let me finish my line here, boy. This will be an exciting study that will help you in understanding the basic steps needed in your walk of faith. Glory to God.
Well, and with that, I'm Brian Fouts.
And I am Leah Fouts.
And we are with Hazak Ministries, an encouragement ministry here in New Ulm, Texas.
Just as a reminder, folks, we've written a book on how we got our journey into ministry. It's called From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith Through the Loss of a Loved One. It's a wonderful book that brings hope, healing, and encouragement to those who've lost a loved one. It's easy to read, and it will make an impact in your life.
And that book is also available in both a paperback book and a special edition hardbound copy as well, especially for those who like to collect books. And we even have it on audiobook.
And yes, Brian and I recorded the audiobook. You can learn more on how to order this book by visiting our website at www.hazakministries.com. That website address again is www.hazakministries.com.
And that's H-A-Z-A-K, hazakministries.com. So, Leah, is there something else that they should know?
Oh, yeah. When you order the book from our website, Brian and I will personally sign your book or books. We ship the books first class so that you can have it in 2 to 3 days. And if you buy one for a friend, we'll be happy to ship to their address from here. They make great gifts.
Ooh, and did you say that they make great gifts?
Yes, I did. They make great gifts. See, I did it again.
Well, thank you, Leah. And if you would like for Leah or myself to come and speak at your church or to your men's or women's group or possibly a very special event, please contact us on our landline at 979-357-2215. That handy-dandy landline again is 979-357-2215. And if you can't reach us there, you can also call us and leave us a message and on our mobile number at 832-878-8043. That number again is 832-878-8043, and you can also text us there as well. But remember, we live out here on the hill in the country, so it takes a little time for that to go through the airwaves to make it up this high.
Well, it's an honor to be featured guests here today with Evangelist Montel Fields on Reaching Out Radio. We thank you for the opportunity where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you again, and remember,
be strong
and be Hazak.